It is time for us to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us every Monday morning at this time, talking about one of our favorite subjects, if not the favorite subject, food. Morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and welcome to olive oil season. I know it's January, and the olives are picked and pressed at the end of the year, before the real winter starts, even in warm climate places like Sicily. However, it doesn't reach the American market until January. So my usual, in the last number of years, mode after New Year is to start hunting for what in Italian you would call olio novello, new oil. Now, the reason I want new oil, as opposed, meaning oil pressed in 2019, as opposed to most of the oil on the market, which was pressed in 2018, is because I like bitter and I like aggressive olive oil, and the new oil is more aggressive and more bitter than the older oil, the same exact oil. So if you don't like those qualities in your olive oil, then do not look for new olive oil. You will not like it, and you will have to pay a premium to get it. So I at the beginning of the year, there was, in fact, some new oil I could order on the Internet, but the prices were sort of crazy. And I don't like paying $40, $45 for a liter or even, you know, for even a full liter of olive oil if I don't have to. And I must say that the 2018 oil that I still have is excellent oil, and I can buy it for $16 at my butcher, who also carries Italian groceries. And at Costco, they have a Tuscan olive oil, just hit my store about 2 weeks ago, because I went 2 weeks ago and it wasn't there, and then a friend of mine went a few days later, and I said, take a look and see if they've got it yet, and they did, and she brought me a bottle, and it's really terrific oil for, as I said, like, she brought me as a gift. Last year it was $16. And I stock up on that, because new oil stay in the bottle unopened, stays for a long time, and I use a lot of oil anyway. But it stays with that fresh, aggressive quality for quite a few months. Certainly for, you know, unopened and kept in a dark place for a year. And then you can open it up and use it for, you know, still, it'll be fine for at least another year. So we have 2 years, two good years out of any oil. The first year is when it's strong flavored, and for that I use it for salads and for dressing things that you want to top dress with a little bit of olive oil, like a bean soup. If I'm making something I do make frequently enough, white beans and tuna salad with some minced parsley and celery, lemon juice and new olive oil. I mean, it's sort of like you don't need anything else. So Costco has it now, but I found it before I got my friend to get me the bottle at Costco. I found it on Fresh Direct. I don't think there are Fresh Direct deliveries in the Northwest Corner, are there, Marshall?
Nothing's direct in the Northwest Corner.
Nothing's direct. Well, Fresh Direct, for those who aren't familiar, is a company that must say, carries very high-quality groceries, both produce, meat, anything you put in your pantry, canned goods, you name it. And they deliver directly to your house, and you order online, and you can actually choose your delivery time. I chose between 8 and 10 in the morning, and believe it or not, they came at 2 minutes after 8. So we were able to eat some of the shrimp that I bought, which were also excellent, for lunch. Anyway, they had an olio novello for $25 a liter. And I thought, well, that's fair enough. I really want to try that. The same time that I discovered that, I got a postcard in the mail giving me a $50 discount on my first $99 or more purchase. So I tried to use this code and make my purchase. I figured, well, two bottles of olive oil is $50 right there. If I have to offer $99, I'm sure I can find another $50 worth of groceries that I can use. And actually, I've been sort of meaning to try their meat and fish, especially since you can get it delivered the same day, in fact. And also encouraged by my nephew, who, being a busy household, he and his wife, neither of them have much time to go grocery shopping. So he has a standing order from Fresh Direct. I mean, after all, they have two little girls they go through, I don't know, at least a couple of gallons of milk a week. So, but they also order American cheese. And when I'm at their house, I eat their American cheese very happily. I like that American cheese so much from Fresh Direct that I actually went to my fancy supermarket around the corner and got their American cheese, but it wasn't nearly as good. So I thought, one of the things I'll order for the $100 is some American cheese. Long story short, well, not really, I made it long. My code didn't work. And I called service, and they kept me on hold for 15 minutes, and then I finally hung up. The rep was trying to find out why my code wasn't working. But the next morning, I woke up to a $20 credit from Fresh Direct. Didn't know what that was about, so I called service again, and they said, the reason your code didn't work is that you're an old customer, and that deal, that coupon, is only good for new customers. I said, well, wait, I haven't ordered from Fresh Direct in many years. It ends up, I haven't ordered from Fresh Direct since 2007. They have records for this, and I don't. And he said, well, that sort of counts as a new customer. And he gave me a $100 credit, plus the $20 I already had. So now I had $120 to spend at Fresh Direct. So I bought these shrimp, which in fact were on sale, two kinds, and I bought the olive oil, which, by the way, is sensational. Has a sort of artichoke-y, grassy flavor that I really like, and it's not super heavy. I do believe it's Sicilian oil. It's the Fresh Direct brand, so it's hard to tell. I knew the grower, the olive oil producer, that they have in fine print on the back of the label. It's called his name is Barbera. And he is Sicilian. I mean, he has Sicilian olives. And in fact, the Barbera olive oil sells for a premium at Fairway supermarkets. By the way, there was a bogus story in the New York Post that Fairway was closing and going into Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Then that was denied by Fairway. But then the next day after they denied it, they did admit that they are closing some stores, or they're selling some stores, and that they're not in bankruptcy. So anyway, Fairway's still there. They still have really good olive oil. And Barbera is one of them. So this is the same producer. I don't know if I think this is really better quality than what I've bought in the past at Fairway, but you never know. Every year, olive oil changes. So this is all to say, there is some new olive oil out there. It's worth buying some if you don't have to pay $45 for it. I think that's a little high, but people get it. They get put it in fancy bottles, and they get more money. Mine is in a very plain bottle. And so that's something to look out for. Two, I noticed the other day in a supermarket that there were stacks and stacks of San Marzano brand tomatoes. Now, these are tomatoes that I have railed against for years and years because they used to just be called San Marzano tomatoes, and they are not San Marzano tomatoes. They're grown in California, and if you open up the can, you'll see they're not the shape of a true San Marzano-type tomato. They are Roma tomatoes. Now, truth be told, even San Marzano tomatoes grown at the foot of Mount Vesuvius, which are the San Marzano tomatoes, and there's also ones that have other designations on them, Sarno's, Norcese. Anyway, those tomatoes are Roma tomatoes. They're not the traditional type San Marzano. Real San Marzano are still grown, even though there are rumors that they're not. I eat them, so I know they're grown. But you can find them fresh a lot easier than you can find them canned. They have delicate skins, and they're delicate tomatoes, and modern-day tomato canning machinery crushes them all up. It doesn't provide conditions for whole, beautiful tomatoes. So Romas are grown now instead. But Romas grown in the rich soil of the base of Mount Vesuvius are not the same as tomatoes grown in California. So I don't know how they got away with calling themselves San Marzano, but they're not getting away with it anymore. They have changed the name to, and it's clear on the can, San Marzano brand tomatoes. And in fact, the promotional sign over the cans was, from Italy but grown in California. Anyway,
hey.
I bought a can. They were inexpensive. I used to pay $3 a can for genuine San Marzano tomatoes at my bargain prices. And every once in a while, I see the Cento San Marzano tomatoes on special sale for $3 or $3.50 a can. $3.50 is fine. It's only when it gets over $4 that sort of creeps me out. So I bought this for $3.49, and with all anticipation of good tomatoes, and I guess they weren't bad tomatoes, but they certainly were not Italian tomatoes. For one thing, they were really hard. And when I had to break them up for a sauce, it was an effort to break them up. And the juices in the can were not nearly as thick and rich as I'm used to from current-day San Marzanos in the can. Let me add that when I wrote Naples at Table 25 years ago, I was writing it for years before it came out, but it was published 25 years ago, canned tomatoes were different. And I have you draining the cans of their watery juices before using them in some sauces and some uses. But you don't have to do that anymore because almost all San Marzano that I buy from San Marzano have a rich, if not thick, puree in the can with the tomatoes. So, I don't know. If you're making something American, I think the California tomatoes are fine. But if I was doing that, I'd rather buy Red Pack, which is another California tomato that I like. There are probably some other California tomatoes. I don't buy them very often that are good, but I'm not highly recommending San Marzano.
If they're
really discounted, it's okay.
I get Red Pack in a paper container. I don't get it in the can. It's in a yeah, and you can open it up and pour it, and you can get a couple different sizes.
But that's Red Pack puree.
Diced,
chopped, or
crushed,
something
crushed.
Like that,
yeah,
but not
crushed.
Whole tomatoes.
No, not whole tomatoes, no. Yeah.
No, I don't think the whole tomatoes only come in cans.
Or else
I prefer whole tomatoes, even if I'm going to chop them up, because I always feel like the whole tomatoes are the good tomatoes, and the ones that they couldn't pack whole are the ones that they chop up for whatever reason. Maybe they're cutting off cruddy parts and then putting them in the chopper.
Well, thank you. I'm going to think about that from now on.
Yeah, I think that the highest quality would be the whole ones. This is not to say, for instance, I do keep in the house tomato puree in the bottle. I know a lot of people swear by Pommi, P-O-M-I, and it comes in Hydrotech, is that what it's called? Those boxes. And certainly I would use it if that would be the best thing in the market. But in some markets, and certainly my Italian market, they sell Italian tomato puree in a jar. And you can use some of the jar and then put it in the refrigerator. It'll last for a few weeks just like that. And be honest, just that alone makes a pretty good sauce. Just put salt, pepper, and some oil in it. I usually use that when I'm doing like something with a sauce that has garlic. So I cook my garlic a little bit in some oil. Doesn't have to be new oil. When you're cooking, you lose a lot of the essence, flavor, and aroma of extra virgin olive oil. So not to say you shouldn't use it for cooking, but don't use your expensive new oil. I would use year-old oil for cooking. Good oil, but year-old or more. Mm-hmm. And then I just add the puree, and that's that. And that's, by the way, when I'm going to make eggs in purgatory in the simplest possible way, that's the sauce that I make. Just some garlic, you know, like a pizzaiola, garlic, oregano, and tomato puree right out of the jar or the box, and some olive oil, of course, for the garlic. And then you just poach eggs in that. Delicious. Put it on a piece of bread or dunk bread into the sauce.
Just for a second, no, Fresh Direct does not deliver here, I checked. But you know who owns Fresh Direct?
Who?
The former Fairway CEO, a guy by the name of Jason Ackerman.
Oh, well, he's a smart man, obviously.
Yeah,
because it really has taken off here in urban areas. I know my nephew lives in the suburbs of Philly, and they deliver there. Here in Brooklyn, I must say, I get annoyed with Fresh Direct because there are so many trucks, so many Fresh Direct trucks, double parked in Park Slope, that sometimes they're blocking the street. We have narrow streets here, not as narrow as Center City, Philadelphia, but still, we have narrow streets here, and there are a lot of Fresh Direct trucks. I see in my building, my apartment house, there's almost every day there's a Fresh Direct delivery. So they're very popular here, and I can understand why. So I bought shrimp, which I don't often do, but they had so many different kinds of shrimp, and two kinds were on special, and for like, you know, $11 a pound, I couldn't resist. So I bought a half a pound of each one. They were cleaned. They were wild caught, but previously frozen, as almost every shrimp you're going to encounter is. And I used my new olive oil. I couldn't wait to use the new olive oil. So I made Spanish style because it's really easy and quick and delicious, and something I've been craving lately. Spanish style shrimp with garlic and hot pepper. And all you do is you warm up your olive oil and the new olive oil. Not necessary, but it was terrific. Warm up the olive oil and put in a lot of thinly sliced garlic. Or if you want to chop it, you can, but I actually like the slices. And for a half a pound of shrimp, 3 large cloves of garlic is not too much. And you cook those gently for a few minutes, and then you increase the heat until they start really sizzling. And as soon as they do, because you don't want them to brown or burn, you throw in your cold shrimp. And if they're, you know, small, you use smallish shrimp, 24 to 36 count. Could be a little bigger than that, but you don't want to use enormous shrimp for this. And also, the enormous shrimp are very expensive, where the smallest ones, which are the best, in fact, here, are terrific. So these are cleaned, raw shrimp. They can have the tail still on. In fact, I prefer them with the tail still on because I like to eat this with my fingers, and I just grab the tail. So anyway, you put in the shrimp, and immediately, almost immediately, start turning them. I found in my jar of wooden spoons and forks, a fork I bought in Spain years ago because I saw somebody cooking these and using a wooden fork. And so I was feeling very Spanish. I did it in a cazuela on top of the stove, but you could do this in a regular skillet. And the shrimp take no longer than 2 or 3 minutes to cook. You're at medium-high heat, and you flip the shrimp over once or twice. As soon as they're pink all over, they are done. I let them sit. I turn off the heat, and I let them sit in the cazuela for 1 minute. Oh, did I tell you I add hot pepper? So you can either use, along with the garlic, you can either use hot pepper flakes or little whole hot peppers. I've never tried this with the fresh pepper, but the dried peppers work great. And those you can always keep around. And the peppers will flavor the oil as well. In the end, you're going to want to mop up all that oil, shrimp juices, hot pepper and garlic with a piece of bread. It's sort of like, but I think way better than, also you could put some chopped parsley on there, then snails and garlic butter. I think it's better, and I enjoy shrimp a lot more than I do snails these days. I used to love snails, but I think I loved snails mainly because of the idea that I was being adventurous eating snails. And nobody's adventurous, I don't think, eating shrimp, as it is the most popular food in America. just about. So certainly the most popular seafood. I think it's even outdone canned tuna fish at this point. By the way, you could do that same process, the garlic, hot pepper, oil, and at the end parsley, with other seafood. I mean, if you did all that, and with mussels or clams, you cover the pan, and they're done as soon as the clams and the mussels open. It's the same process. And I love seafood cooked that way, and it's so easy and simple. I'm going to try it because I have some friends who won't eat seafood, but they will eat fish. I've been thinking that cooking, like, cubes of a really firm-fleshed fish would work very well. And truthfully, I years ago used to make a mock clam sauce. Friends who are kosher saying, oh, you know, you guys eat this linguine with clam sauce. Is it that good? And I said, well, you know what? Let me make it with fish. And I have made, and it doesn't have to be a firm-fleshed fish. It could be even flounder. You cook your garlic, hot pepper, oil, and then put the fish in. It doesn't take more than 2 or 3, 4 minutes at the most. And then put some nice chopped parsley on and toss that with pasta. It's delicious.
And the
maybe I'll do that with the shrimp today, come to think of it.
I hate to weigh in with this sort of first thing in the morning, but
you hate garlic, so this is not.
I was going to say this is going
this
nowhere.
No. This is a seafood. This is okay. Modifying.
You don't like seafood either?
No, I love seafood. But a friend of mine, one New Year's Day, who had eaten seafood for decades, we stopped being able to and has not been able to since. So the idea, I'm actually all over this, the idea of doing this without seafood, as you say, with a firm-fleshed fish.
With fish, yeah.
Is not terrible. I'm just curious, what fish would you use?
No, it's delicious.
Yeah. What would you use? Like a flounder? Yeah.
Well, I'm saying if you're making a sauce for pasta, you don't want the fish, you don't need to have the fish stay in nice cubes
right.
or anything. So if I wanted the fish to stay in nice cubes, I'm thinking cod would be terrific.
Okay.
And it's like everybody eats cod, I think. And I really think, but even flounder sort of falls apart, but then that integrates very well with spaghetti. So I'm happy with any fish, truthfully, any white fish that you like or you can stand. It will work well with garlic and oil and parsley. In fact, there's an old story, a Neapolitan story. After the war, World War II, that would be, wasn't even after the war, but it was when the Americans and the Allies liberated Naples from the Germans. And the Americans, the Neapolitans wanted to make a feast to celebrate the Allies, and they invited these generals to dinner, but since Naples was so deprived of food and everything during the war, they said, but what are we going to serve them? There is no food in Naples. And somebody had the bright idea, let's go to the aquarium, and we can get some fish for this dinner. So they go to the aquarium, and there are no fish, because the locals have already eaten all the fish in the aquarium. They were eating a lot worse than fish in an aquarium in Naples during the war. You could read a book called Naples 44 and learn more about that. In any case, so the Neapolitan said, okay, let's cook a manatee. Well, manatees don't look like fish, and they aren't fish. And when they served the manatee to the Allied generals, the generals looked at it and thought it looked too much like a human baby, and they wouldn't eat it. But the Neapolitans were not at all scandalized by eating a manatee. They just wanted to know, how do you cook a manatee?
Right.
And the answer was, like, well, you know, garlic, oil, and parsley, and hot pepper. What else? So if you're cooking a manatee, those of you listening in Florida, that's how you cook a manatee.
Just
garlic, oil, hot pepper, and parsley.
And if you ever use parsley with garlic, you're cutting the garlicness.
You're cutting the aroma.
Exactly.
Anyway. The bad breath possibilities that you're cutting.
And for you folks listening in Florida, don't worry, the manatees are protected in Florida.
Yeah, and it just.
I mean, manatees are mammals, aren't they?
Well, they're protected. They're a protected species in Florida.
The point is that we have come so far from understanding, sadly, that it shouldn't be synthetic and that it's okay to eat something. So we've got a group of people who would no more consider eating.
Well, the reason I even tried the fish thing was because I was doing this for a kosher friend.
Right.
The same kosher friend who always asked me, is pork really that good? So there's actually an old joke
Tell
about
them yes.
that, too. Pardon me?
Tell them yes.
Okay,
no,
the manatee.
You know,
the manatee.
No, I don't want to say that.
The manatee is
pork is good, but pork is not the whole world.
The manatee.
But there's another old joke: the neighborhood priest and the rabbi go out to dinner together because they are friends, and the rabbi says to the priest at one point, he says, "Tell me the truth. You've never had sex." and the priest says, "Tell me the truth. You've never had pork."
Now, the manatee is protected worldwide under the Maritime Mammal Protection Act of 1972.
It is a mammal, yeah.
It's illegal to harass, hunt, capture, or kill.
So there you go.
And where that's else I've seen manatees in Florida, but I'm not a manatee person.
Well,
so
deep sea diving have you
go
done?
Go around looking for manatees, but. Where else are they? I guess in Louisiana, Texas.
Yeah, I think any shallow warm waterway, I guess, is what it comes down to, or something like that. So,
because actually, mine were on the west coast of Florida, not on the ocean coast, but on the Gulf Coast. Okay. So I'm figuring that's where they are. I don't know. Maybe I should look up manatees and see where they are. Somewhere in the world they're eating manatees, I guarantee
you. I think you're right.
Sirenians of the world, savethemanatee.org.
Somewhere in the world they're eating humans, too. But
Indian manatee?
Well, I don't know any more, you think.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, it's the world.
All right. Well, I had more to talk about, but there are other days, new days. And next week will be February?
Yep.
Yes. Day after the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Or
is the Super Bowl, has that Super Bowl ever been in February?
Yes.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I always thought it was in January.
They wait for 2 weeks after the end of the regular season.
You got to do something with that middle week.
Yeah.
And that
Does anybody up there have Super Bowl parties?
Not anymore. It's too much work. And
sometimes the game is good and you don't get to see it.
And some times the game is bad and everybody just drinks your liquor and eats your food and leaves at halftime with a big mess.
It leaves you with a big
this
mess.
This way I don't have to talk about Super Bowl food.
No.
Yeah, not really.
No, not for up here. For your other listeners.
How many ways can you do wings and chicken and chili?
Well, there are a lot of ways. I have books on wings
here.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, I mean, it's one of the books I'm very happy to dispose of. I'm still trying to get rid of books here.
Okay. We'll let you know.
I thumbed through that one and said, you know what? I don't really need 50 recipes for chicken wings.
That's right.
50 ways to leave your lover. All right. Thank you.
Have a great day. Keep laughing.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Right.
That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio.